Joe Biden stumbles at a town hall, the U.S. women's national soccer team gets dominated at the Olympics, and race relations hit a 20-year low. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. The William Hall Show is brought to you by the Second Amendment Jerky Company. That's what I have right here. It is absolutely delicious. If you are a fan of beef jerky, I promise that you will absolutely love this product. And the mission statement behind it is very simple. For every bag of beef jerky that you buy, a portion of that is donated to a reputable organization that supports American gun owners. It's as simple as that. Delicious jerky going to a great cost. It's a lot better, by the way, than giving your money to a grocery store or a gas station or some other place like that. And we know that these gun advocacy groups can use as much support as possible. So this is a great product that helps get it out there. And the thing is, too, with all of this being said, the best part of this is that it ships for absolutely free. So I promise that you will enjoy this product. It not only helps to support the Second Amendment, but it also supports the William Hall Show as well. It helps me to do what I love doing here as well. So with all of that being said, remember to go to 2ajerky.com to support the Second. Again, that's 2ajerky.com to support the Second. So speaking of the Second Amendment, you have Biden. He was doing this town hall, and there were several different things that I'm going to show you here, what he was talking about, some of which you probably couldn't even tell what he was actually really trying to say. But he actually started this whole thing off by basically saying that he was going to outright ban all handguns.
Actually, crime is down. Gun violence and murder rates are up. Guns. I'm the only guy that ever got passed legislation when I was a senator to make sure we eliminated assault weapons. The idea you need a weapon that can have the ability to fire 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, whether it's a 9mm pistol or whether it's a rifle, is ridiculous. I'm continuing to push to eliminate the sale of those things, but I'm not likely to get that done in the near term. So here's what I've done. The people who, in fact, are using those weapons are acquiring them illegally. And so what happens is I've gotten ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. I have them increase their budget and increase their capacity, along with the Justice Department, to go after the gun shops that are not abiding by the law of doing background checks. For real, that's number one.
All right, so that 120-round pistol sounds pretty interesting to me. I don't know about you. I don't know where that's at. But either way, you have Biden just basically misrepresenting the facts of the situation. That's basically what he's doing here. So first of all, I'm sick and tired of the usage of assault weapon, okay? This is such a, it's really almost turned into a euphemism because it's the way that the Democrats are using this terminology to make it seem worse than something is basically what they're trying to do. So what they're usually trying to refer to is an AR, which a lot of people even say is an assault rifle, but in reality, it's actually an Armalite rifle that was never about it being assault in the name. That was never there, but that's kind of a thing that people have been talking about for a while now. But you have him misrepresenting this terminology by using assault weapon. But think about that. What's an assault weapon? An assault weapon could be a bat. It could be a hammer. It could be used, basically anything that you could use to assault somebody with. And there are plenty of things that you could use to assault someone with. And you wouldn't consider that as an assault weapon under what Biden's talking about. But it's a way for them to make something sound worse than it is. It's a way for them to lump everything into this huge category of saying, well, it's how it's used, okay? Well, then that means that if a handgun that you have is being used to defend yourself, then you're not assaulting anybody. So it's just the dichotomy that they're trying to draw here that we have to look at between what Biden is saying, what the Democrats are using as their terminology, and the truth and the reality of the situation. And the other problem here, too, is that he's talking about illegal handguns and illegal guns in general, and he really has no idea what he's talking about on this issue. Because if you're looking at the stats, if you're looking at what's actually happening in these different states and where these illegal guns are, I can assure you, they're not being bought at stores. They're not being bought at gun stores. I don't know where or what data he's looking at to prove that to be the case. Every gun store you go to has all of the regulations and restrictions, and they're doing background checks. You can't find them not doing that, because if they get caught not doing that, they're obviously going to go to jail anyways. But none of them are doing that. These people believe in the Second Amendment. They believe on doing it legally, and they comply to the rules. They always have. So for him to think that legitimately people are getting these illegal handguns by going to gun stores is ridiculous. They're buying them on the black market. They're buying them from other people in other states and transferring them over. That's basically what's going on. That's why a lot of these states, by the way, that have the worst or the strictest gun laws are the same states that have the highest gun violence. They go hand in hand every time. And it's also Democrat-run states as well that think that these laws are going to do something. In other words, these laws will not work. They haven't worked in other states. They're not going to work if you just start toppling them on top of everything, assuming that it's the stores that are really the problem. It's not. Please, it's not. I'd love to see the data showing that that's the case, but I don't think he's going to do that because that's not true. He also said that crime is down as well. Now, I think it may be down nationally, but it's up significantly higher in Democrat states. I mean, the data that I've showed talking about this is substantial. There is so much crime and a massive rise in crime. Chicago, I mean, there's between 50 and 100 people shot every weekend in Chicago consistently, weekend after weekend. Crime is up in pretty much every Democrat state. But you have other states that are maybe down to a certain degree, like Florida or whatever. But either way, him making this claim is just a weird thing. I mean, even in California, for example, right now, as long as you shoplift $950 or something like that, less than that, then you cannot be charged for shoplifting. So right now you have people literally looting stores in California, not for some specific racial cause, not for BLM, but just because the law is allowing them to do it. So they're just literally going in and looting these stores. And then, of course, you have Biden stumbling and bumbling as usual, as he usually does when he's up on stage in these types of situations. And here's a little bit of that.
That's underway, just like the other question that's illogical. And I've heard you speak about it because you always, I'm not being solicitous, but you're always straight up about what you're doing. Yeah. And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why can't the experts say, we know that this virus is, in fact, it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved. Yeah. That's underway, too. I expect that to occur quickly.
Well, that means, you mean for the FDA?
For the FDA. Yeah.
I've said it before, and I'm saying it again. There's no way that Biden is making it past 2024. Like, that's a pretty much guarantee right there. This guy is on his last leg. It's obvious. I don't even know what he was saying. You have Don Lemon there trying to pretend like he knows what he's talking about. No one knows what this guy is talking about, okay? That's pretty obvious at this point. So Biden up next was going to be talking about the economy and talking about the inflation and the way that the economy is going right now. And here's what he had to say on that.
I seem pretty confident that inflation is temporary, but if you're pumping all of this money into the economy, couldn't that add to...
No, look, here's the deal. Moody's today, when our Wall Street firm, not some liberal think tank, said if we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will in fact reduce inflation. Reduce inflation. Reduce inflation. Because we're going to be providing good opportunities and jobs for people who in fact are going to be reinvesting that money back in all the things we're talking about. Driving down prices, not raising prices. And so I sincerely mean this. Prices are up now, and they're up. For example, you're in a position where you're trying to build a house. Try to find 2x4s and lumber. Yeah. Well, guess what? People stop working cutting lumber. They stop doing it because the unemployment was so down. Now, all of a sudden, there's this need because people are coming back. And guess what? Instead of paying 10 cents, you're paying 20. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It relates to what, in fact, is now needed because we're growing.
All right. First of all, I heard you the first time. You don't need to tell it to me three times. I think that's just what he does when he doesn't really know what he's going to say next. But really what we need to dive into here is all of the lies. There's plenty of lies in this situation. There's even a situation where Biden caught himself before he kind of admitted what is really going on. But he starts off where we have to actually look at what's taking place in the incentive to work, in this idea that people need to be incentivized to go to work, to do something, okay? And right now you have a situation where many states, I know Florida still is at this point, but a lot of states are still paying unemployment. Like, not just unemployment in general, but the bonus on top of the normal unemployment. So a lot of people are still in a position where they're literally making more money doing that, or the same amount of money doing that, than they are by looking for work. Okay, so why would they go back to work in the first place? I mean, they're able to live and survive basically on their own. They know that the government's going to be sending out stimulus checks over and over, and it's enough for a lot of people to get by. Some people are living on a very low means, so for them, it's not a big deal. Why would they need to go back to work? They don't need to at all. In this current climate of them basically trying to pass all of these economic recovery bills. But the thing, too, is that Biden caught himself, because in there, he said that people stopped working cutting lumber because the employment was so, and then it kind of trails off into something else. What he was going to say is that people stopped working in lumber because the unemployment rates, or what they were paying with the bonuses, was so probably generous, is what he's going to say. But he didn't want to tell people that, because what that would do is that it would cut directly against the Democrat narrative that they're trying to push right now. That would cut it right there. Because if he says that, then we will all know that even Biden knows that the real reason why the economy is in shambles at this point, that we're seeing all this inflation, is because of the fact that you still have the government paying out people to do nothing. And that the real goal is not by passing more bills, but by cutting off these things so that people are incentivized to work. Unemployment never was supposed to be comfortable. People need to be uncomfortable under it. And until you get it back to that level, people will have no reason to go back into work for many people. It's enough money. It's not a ton of money, but it's enough for them to live off of. And that's the problem with the government thinking that that's going to somehow work. But you have Biden just basically like, hey, look, guys, I'll fix the economy. I'll reduce inflation. But just let me spend a few more billion dollars to do it. If I can just get these things passed, we'll be good. Meanwhile, you look at the bills and they're stuffed full of stuff that nobody cares about. Going to museums, all of this money not going to the American people. Seriously, I think there was actually a report. I think looking at all of the recovery bills from Trump's first one to Biden's several that he's passed now, I think it's like a total of $7 trillion. Enough money to pay every person in the United States $41,000. That's how much money could have been going to the American people during this period of time that didn't, that went wasted to all of these other causes, all of these other things, to big business, to make sure Democrat states didn't go under financially. That's where your money basically went. Now, the thing is that he's expecting everybody to say, oh, well, that's how it works. I guess I'll just believe you. I'll believe what Biden's saying, because why not believe what he's saying, right? But the thing is that to really fix the problem here, it's going to take a lot more than just Biden talking about his proposed solution, which isn't going to work, basically passing more bills that spend more money. The real way that we do this is by creating a deflation. So just a short list of things that would do that would first of all be by reducing the supply of currency. Okay, so what this means is no more of these stimulus things, no more of these of the unemployment being increased at all. Get rid of that stuff, because what you're doing is that you're incentivizing people to stay on that benefit and they have no actual want to work whatsoever. We need to lower illegal immigration. That's another big thing. That's something that we've been trying to get a grapple on for the longest period of time. But the problem is that right now there's a border crisis because Biden's just letting all of these people through. And by the way, not checking to see if they even have COVID, but they want to pretend like they care about the virus. So obviously they don't. But the other part is that we need to bring back manufacturing. Companies are going to start leaving. When it gets too expensive to operate in the United States, just like it was the case before Trump, during the Obama era, you're going to have businesses that just leave. And then Trump had to work to get them back, to deregulate the situations that they had to deal with. Deregulation is a huge part of the comeback. If you don't have that, then we're pretty much done. We also need to remain energy independent. So all of this stuff where you have the pipeline shutting down and gas prices are going up like crazy, that's all because Biden is putting things in place that are not really helping to make sure that these industries stay in check and that we have control of the prices. That was why energy independency meant so much, because it was saying, you know, the United States can now determine the prices, and it wasn't going to be determined by the oil prices by the barrel in a different country based off of their economic situation and their wars or whatever they were dealing with. The other thing, too, is that we need to not be trying to increase the minimum wage, because by doing so, once again, you're making it harder for companies to want to hire more people. That's what you're basically doing. In other words, to sum all of this stuff up, we need to bring back Trump. I mean, that's basically the easiest way to do this, because that's the only real solution, is to have somebody in place that actually knows how to run a country, run a business in a way that actually benefits the Americans that are within. So there's this new report that basically is talking about the race relations between black and white Americans. And what you have is that they're saying that it has reached now a 20-year low. So this is a Gallup poll that was done, and it basically goes on and says that the majority of Americans, 57%, say that relations are somewhat or very bad. And meanwhile, about 42% of Americans say relations between blacks and whites are either very or somewhat good. So basically, more people than not actually believe that the relations are bad between black and white Americans. The poll was also conducted between June 1st and July 5th, which was during the time where Derek Chauvin's trial was going on and everything. And you have this situation, too, where they are comparing this poll to the same one that they did in 2019, where 51% of Americans said that the relations were actually very or somewhat good. However, after the murder of George Floyd in May 2020, that rating dropped the following year as racial justice protests were going crazy at that time last year, as we all remember. Now, this is exactly what Democrats want. What this tells me is that what they're doing is basically working, that they're seeking to divide and conquer. That's what this has always been about. It has never been about uniting people. It's been about conforming to what they believe. And this is the fruits of their labor, if you want to call it that, where they have effectively pitted people against someone else, all because of the color of one's skin. Something that's absolutely ridiculous, something that you would think we would have gotten beyond. But it's all because the Democrats are just bent on trying to make sure that everybody knows their place, whether that's the oppressed or the oppressor. And don't you dare move outside of those reins, because then the Democrats will have a problem with you by you doing that. And the issue is that this shows that their tactics have worked, as sad as that is. We end up divided into all these useless categories while they wind up basically being able to get all these groups of people to vote for them because they're promising them some better tomorrow. Remember, if whatever a group is campaigning on is what they're going to do when they get elected, okay? They have no incentive once they get elected to fix those problems, right? So if there's a Democrat that's running for Senate, for House of Representatives, or anything like that, and they're saying, you know what, I recognize all of these racial issues and blah, 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 and I'm going to try and come out there and do something that's going to make a change. Well, they campaigned, they ran, they profited, and won, for example, in this theoretical situation, based off of their political divisiveness, by basically telling you that, you know, black people are this way and oppressed that way, and white people are automatically the oppressors no matter what they do. By running on this, they have no incentive once they get elected to change that. I mean, once the problem's fixed, why would they need to be there? So it's in Democrats' best interest to keep everyone divided, whether they're in office or not. It's in their best interest because that's how they're campaigning. That's what they're running for. That's why they feel like they're there. That's why people are voting for them. If the goal of conservatives for Republicans is to make sure that we are being taught facts in our schools, actual legitimate history instead of the fake history that they're trying to push down on kids, then that's what they're going to be trying to keep instituted as well. They're not going to try and get rid and upend those systems all of a sudden the second they get elected. So you kind of pick which one you want to go with. I know which one I'm going with, but that's kind of beside the point. But like I said, they don't want unity. They never have. They want conformity. That's all this is about. And this also translates a little bit to this situation going on in California right now, or at least the situation that just took place, where a law that was actually in place, that where they were trying to put in place a law that was going to require transgender pronouns to be used at these different aged facilities, so like nursing homes or something like that. But the issue is now is that they have actually ruled against that law, which is good, because they said it was a violation of free speech to basically force nurses and staff to use these pronouns and whatever for these transgender or whatever elders. So this is a, like I said, this is the state of California, surprisingly, their third district court of appeals, and they ruled that a state law requiring the use of preferred pronouns by nursing home workers violated their free speech rights, which is true and good. It's a good thing that this is going through. Now, the thing is that the guy that actually wrote the bill, Scott Weiner, said that the court's decision is disconnected from the reality facing transgender people. This, already off the face of this is not good, because this guy is basically just lying to our face. This is how they talk. Pay attention to how they word things. He's saying that the court's decision is disconnected from the reality facing transgender people. What reality is facing transgender people? The reality that's facing them is that, hey, you are biologically a man or a woman. You cannot change that. That is the only reality facing them. But the way that he's wording this is meant to say, well, it's their reality. Not the reality, but their reality. So this guy had made up a, also went on in another statement saying, deliberately misgendering a transgender person isn't just a matter of opinion. It's not simply disrespectful or discourteous. It's insulting. Rather, it's straight up harassment. This is the guy writing the bill here. Okay. Now, it isn't a matter of opinion. It's a matter of fact. Okay. I don't care what he's trying to claim is the case here, but the fact is that you're either a biological man or a biological woman. No name calling is going to change any of that. But notice how they do that. Oh, it's not just disrespectful. It's literally harassment. So you can basically wind up, they can say, well, it's sexual harassment. He misgendered or misnamed me in some other way. He didn't call me the name that I just chose to change it to a week ago. It's crazy how they try to continue to do this. Remember that this has nothing to do with their rights, by the way. All of this stuff that they were talking about for the past few years about, oh, this is, we just want equal rights and equal blah, blah, blah. That's not true. That's not what this is. It's that you must play along or you suffer the consequences. That's what's happening right now. It's not a matter of them just trying to get married or them just trying to have the right to do this, even though it's not really a right anyways, but have the ability to do whatever thing they want to get approved. It's that you need to play along. And if you don't play along, you will suffer. So how would you suffer exactly? Let's go into a little bit about what this law is actually going to have you do if you just basically chose to misuse someone's pronouns or misgender them or something like that. So the law could punish a healthcare worker with a year in prison and as much as $1,000 fine for prolonged abuse involving the violation of the provisions included in the misuse of preferred pronouns. Now, keep in mind, notice in here, though, this is its words, not mine. We're saying prolonged abuse. The abuse, by the way, that they're referring to, it's not physical abuse, not mental abuse. It's, oh, they didn't call him a he or a her the way that they wanted them to, or they or them. These pronouns that are outside of their norms, they want that to be, you know, those things are the ones that they're looking at. By not using those, you are literally abusing them, is what this law is saying. Once again, what does this have to do with rights? Doesn't sound like rights to me at all. Now, the thing is that I'm glad that we actually have situations that we can point to and say, hey, look, the First Amendment is still a thing. Like, it's better than big tech, because right now you can pretty much get banned for doing that same thing. But it is at least something sort of good that we can point to and say, it's still there. It's at least somebody recognizes it and is able to put that into place. So this is a good decision, but unfortunately, I feel like these things are just going to keep happening, where they're going to continue to try and basically say, by you not using their preferred name or their preferred pronouns, you are literally abusing them. You are literally harassing them. This idea that the left has parroted before about speech literally being violence, which couldn't be further from the truth, and using that as a means to say, and as a club, and saying, you will go to jail for this. You will get fined for this. That's where we're at right now. It's the next step in what's going on. This got shot down, sure, but it was an actual law, and it's only going to continue to happen over time, that they're going to keep fighting for this type of nonsense. I'm not sure how many of you are actually watching the Olympics. I basically made a, I usually don't watch them anyways, but I definitely this time around was like, you know what, I'm going to purposefully not watch the Olympics. It's just gotten way too woke. Most of the athletes are trying to disrespect the country or something like that. And of course, if you've been following any of that, then you know as well that the U.S. soccer team, the women's soccer team, has also been doing the exact same thing. This is the team of Megan Rapinoe, which has all of these opinions about Victoria's Secret and about how everything needs to be about LGBTQ and about how they need to kneel during the national anthem. This is the team right there. Well, apparently they were in the Olympics and obviously, as you assume to expect, got dominated 3-0 by a Swedish team as a result. So, remember, this is the same exact team that I played a clip of before where the veteran, the 98-year-old veteran, was playing the harmonica, playing the national anthem on that, and several, like half the team was literally turned away from the flag. Just truly disrespectful. They're the same women who also have kneeled for the national anthem as well, and we're just supposed to believe that these people are pro-American all of a sudden? No, that's not going to fly. I mean, this kind of is a situation of get woke, go broke, where it's like, you know what, this is kind of what you guys get. This is what happens when you are so busy trying to virtue signal that you're not even focused on playing the game. Meanwhile, other countries are focused on playing the game and not all of these stupid political things. And they're actually getting something done. This is the same team as well that was complaining, saying that they got paid less than the men's team. Which, of course, is true, but that's not because they were being discriminated against. It's because people just don't watch women's soccer as much. So they pay them within the means of the situation. They literally can't pay them as much as the men's team because the men's team makes a lot more money than their team does. And the second that they make more money, then they can do that. But that's not what was going on. And by the way, this is the same person making all these comments that is also a millionaire. Like, it's not like they're poor, barely scraping by, or anything even close to that. But the thing is that they're out of the competition now anyways, so it really doesn't matter. They kind of got what they deserve there for having a terrible attitude. And for a lot of people that are like, you know what, especially on Twitter, you see this, well, you know, they should be able to kind of do whatever they want. You know, they can turn away from the national anthem. I mean, why should it really matter? Well, how many of you remember Usain Bolt, the runner from Jamaica? How many of you remember him? Here's a clip of him, and here's what he did when he heard the national anthem.
You came here to be a legend. You are already a legend.
Could we cut the interview? Is it live?
Yeah, okay. So, yes, Las Danzas.
National anthem.
Ah, sorry, sorry. El himno nacional.
Why is it that a man from Jamaica respects the national anthem more than half of our country? What kind of craziness is that? But if he can do it, my thought is that the least you can do is just respect the anthem or the flag. That's it. That's the difference. It's just simple respect. And even a man from Jamaica understood that. That's all it took. But you see these women just disrespect everything about it. And like I said, they kind of got what they deserved. Larry Elder, he's one of the people that was running for governor of California, or at least was trying to run for governor of California after you had all of the debacle over Caitlyn Jenner at CPAC and all of that stuff. Well, you know, Larry Elder, black conservative, obviously somebody that would be way better suited for that, was trying to put his foot in the race to actually run for the governor of California. But he kind of got into or faced a bit of a roadblock as a result of that. So he was actually denied his ability to be put on the ballot for that at first. Now, this was on Sunday. His campaign was notified by California's Secretary of State, of course, a Democrat, that he is disqualified from running in the upcoming recall election and will not be added to the ballot. Now, this was a surprise to me. I was very surprised by this. I actually posted on Gab about this, and I basically said, you know what? If there's any example of systemic racism, this is it. A black man trying to run for governor of California as a Republican, by the way, and getting denied the ability to do this. And the reason why is because the reason for them turning him down made no legitimate sense. So the reason that they were actually trying to do this is because they said that his tax returns had some redaction issues. Now, what needed to be shown, they didn't even say. They didn't even give him any specifics on the situation. So according to his campaign lawyers, this was the first time in the history of California, and possibly the country, that a candidate has been disqualified for redaction issues of tax returns. So it doesn't even make sense. It wasn't a good excuse for them to use to try and keep him from running for this position. Now, they did have to sue them as a result of this. And he basically said, look, if you're not going to do this, I'm going to sue you in court because I know that I'm right. We knew what we needed to do going into this, and you're not going to try and scare us out of doing so. So, just as of yesterday, they won that lawsuit, which is very good. And so the court's ruling reverses the secretary's decision to disqualify Elder as a candidate for alleged redaction issues of the income tax records filed with his candidacy application. According to the court, the law by which the Secretary of State required candidates to submit tax returns for the upcoming election applies to direct primary elections, not recall elections, because this is the recall Gavin Newsom thing that basically took place. Now, hence, Elder did not have to file tax returns at all to qualify as a candidate. So Elder said in a statement, "We fought the shenanigans of Sacramento's politicians and we won. If elected governor, I will fight every single day for the state. This is just the beginning." Now, this is, once again, a good thing that they actually won this and were able to overcome this. But I think it was kind of a scare tactic from the people in California to basically say, look, you know, we're going to make sure that you have a tough time trying to do this because we don't like you. We don't like another Republican in this race. We don't like the fact that you're a black Republican, especially. There is, if anything, is the systemic racism, the actual system keeping a black man, a Republican, from actually being able to run. But they were able to overcome this, but they still had to go to a lawsuit to do that, by the way. Now, the whole thing is that I think that it's good that he's running, but I don't think he's going to win. I mean, it is California. I would be blown away if any conservative or Republican wins at all. I would be absolutely surprised by that. But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing that he's running, because I think it gives an alternative, by the way, for a lot of the Republicans that are out there that think that supporting Caitlyn Jenner is a good idea, Tommy Lauren. It opens the door and basically is to say, you don't need to be following this person. Like, there's so many better options. So at this point, supporting Caitlyn Jenner makes you look like an idiot. And that's what I'm going with at this point. So last but not least, just to kind of end things on a bit of a lighter note, there's this song that I found. I really honestly don't even know what it's from, but it is a crazy song with a bunch of kids that are singing a song called Feminist Boys.
I'm a feminist boy. Watch me be a man who has all the feels. I can laugh, cry, sing, and still keep it real.
I don't have to be tough just to get respect.
I know words not fists, solve arguments.
Watch me be a man who doesn't only wear blue. Why can't pink and purple be boy colors too?
I feel bad for macho men who won't wear sparkles. Those old color codes are so patriarchal.
Macho, macho, punch, punch, tough guy, girl.
That is so passe, that is not my future.
Macho, macho, grab, grab,
oh, you're annoyed.
That's so toxic, I'm a feminist boy.
Watch me be an Asian man who plays leading roles.
Cause it's not just writers who can be heroes.
We've got more than Jackie Chan, we've got more than Bruce Lee.
Watch out, Hollywood, here's life starring me.
Watch me be a baller like Jeremy Lin. I got game, no need to be as tall as him.
Don't need to be big just to be a winner. Don't need to be a girl to help cook dinner.
Give it up for the feminist boy. He knows that we aren't playing coy.
All right, so basically what's going on here is that you have several different boys in this video that are singing terribly, obviously, but they're basically showing all of these weird like clips of them in superhero kind of looking attire or other things like that, and they're doing these stupid Twitch looking dances or something from that are, you know, kind of popularized from Fortnite and whatnot, but they're doing all of that in this video, and they're trying to talk about things that I don't even believe they really even truly understand. But by the way, notice in the very beginning, if you're listening to audio, you don't see this, but in the very beginning, the boys are literally wearing these pink hats, these pink feminist hats, which are supposed to represent a woman's privates, by the way. That's what they were supposed to be, okay? They're wearing those on their head in this video as kids. And we're supposed to just be like, oh, it's just for fun. It's just about letting them know that there's other ways to, that you don't have to be a certain type of boy or a certain type of man. No, that's not what this is about. That's not what it's showing it. That's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing something totally different here. I'm seeing them really go for this feminism thing very hard in some of the most heinous ways. But the other thing, too, is like, what does being an Asian movie star have to do with feminism at all? I don't even know. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And then you have the kid in there that's like, well, I've got game. I don't need to be as tall as this basketball player. And it's like, dude, like, just wait. Like, you're going to need to be able to do it. As much as I can be one of the best basketball players out there, if I don't meet the physical requirements to do that, I'm not going to be successful. But here's the problem. We live in a day and age where the left has also tried to misconstrue that. They've tried to change this. This idea, when they talk about men and women and basically giving you the idea that at any given point in time, a woman can be a man, and at any given point in time, a man can be a woman, what they're also trying to admit or add in there is that, well, all of these other physical things you're not bound by. So if you want it to be 6'7", you could just identify as being 6'7", right? And just go play in the NBA. That's basically what they're trying to do. Of course, it's not going to work out very well for you. I am waiting for the first player to actually show up for the audition and basically or for the tryout and say, hey, you know, I actually identify as LeBron James' height, so I should be good to go, right? Like, because that's basically what's going on. But the fact is that you do need to have certain physical requirements to do certain sports. That's a reality. It's just a reality. You can't go away from that. But of course, they're trying to do that. And it's like, newsflash, you can't just be a basketball player just because you feel like it. That's not how that works. But not all of the messaging is entirely bad. I mean, when they're talking about, okay, well, we should use words, not fists. I get that. I think that's perfectly fine, generally speaking. But it's when it's packaged with all the rest of this junk that I have the problem here. Where it's like, oh, like, I would feel bad if people aren't wearing pink or sparkles, and boys should be able to wear all of these things. I mean, yeah, you can wear them. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's the messaging that goes along with it. It's, what is it trying to say with that? Do I have purple shirts? Sure. I mean, who cares? That if you're trying to normalize something like that, just say who cares. It's not important. But either way, that's not what the messaging is here. The messaging is to be a feminist boy. It's to be this boy that is the opposite of what every man should be. That they should never try to even attempt to be a normal man at any given point in life. And that's the problem that I have. These kids at that age shouldn't even be concerned with any of this stuff. It's none of their, there's not something that they should be thinking about. But I also want to know, what were the parents doing? I mean, the parents had to put them in this. Are they going along with this type of stuff? I mean, that's what I want to know, especially when you have them wearing those disgusting hats. It just really is a massive oversight, in my opinion. The thing is that if this is what the future of men is going to be, where it's like, we're all these feminist men, and keep in mind, feminist does not mean what a lot of people think it means by just the name of it, or the old school feminism. That's not what this is. It's not about women's rights anymore. It's about significantly more than that. It's just as radical as the LGBTQ stuff, by the way. They're the ones that are saying that women are, that men can be women, that men can get pregnant, that women, all of these, they're just misconstruing everything. Under their determination, that's basically what's going on. And if this is what the future is holding, we're doomed, especially for students or kids, we're doomed. That's all there is to it. But with that being said, that is all I have for you today on this episode. Thank you for watching or listening to this one. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show.